Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and I am so glad that you have joined us today. You know, some parts of this world are dealing with the eclipse. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see my fancy glasses that don't allow me to see you, so I'm going to take them off. But I just am so glad that you joined us today. And by us, I mean Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron. And, you know, we love to hear the wisdom. And, Alice, I know you've got something great prepared for us. What do you got today?
Well, Becky, it comes from my struggle and imperfection. You folks have heard from me before that I am a people pleaser and an avoider. Those are my attachment styles, but I'm in recovery, have been for a long time. And Becky, I had a boundaries triumph that was over 5 years in the making. There is an older man in my life who can be a little harsh when in a bad mood or when I step on his toes. And I have not been able to apply the advice we give to our callers to point it out before it happens and then point it out in the moment that it's happening and walk away if it won't stop. I finally pulled it off a couple of weeks ago. And I felt like 50 pounds came off of my heart in finally being able to be honest that that hurts. Please stop. Please don't treat me like that. And Becky, I had to think afterwards, why did it take me so long, years, to be able to do what I know is good and right to do? Well, a couple reasons came to mind. I mean, this is the application of Ephesians 4:15, which is speaking the truth but doing it with grace. Well, we people pleasers are real good at grace. We're not so good at truth. And there are lots of complications in the relationship, certainly. So then what helped me get past it after those 5 years? And there were at least three things. I'm in a sisterhood, and I admit to my sisterhood my inability in this area, that it is an ongoing struggle for me to be honest if people are hurtful to me. So I'm connected with other women, and I confess where I fall short. And then I've been role-playing this conversation for a very long time. So I want you folks to know what we advise, we try to practice, and yet it is also difficult for us. But don't give up, because the time is going to pass anyhow. Do we want to keep improving? These principles do work if we can put them into practice, but it takes a community of giving us grace and support and courage to be able to do it. Finally, Becky, finally.
I love that victory, Alice. And you know, the other part of that too is there is a process. I think a lot of times when we think about boundaries, we think in reactivity, you know, where we should be able to set that boundary right then and the other person should comply and, you know, sing our praises. And what you have learned and what you discovered is you had to practice and you had to identify when it was happening, and you did have a group of people. And I think that's, you know, we talk about connection all the time, and you didn't lose who you were in setting of the boundary. How did you feel after the victory?
Well, my body was shaking because it's that hard for me to be that honest. I think there was a major adrenaline rush, and I went for a walk. And after about half a block, I just started praising God because I knew I didn't have that capacity on my own. I grew up in Minnesota Nice, where our answer to how you're doing is we're always fine. But that creates a system of lying and deception and hiding how we really feel. And so I just had to say, God, glory to you, because I could not have gotten here on my own. And it came through New Life, what I have learned through New Life and the sisterhood I have formed through New Life. Folks, these principles work, but we need a lot of help to be able to actually do them.
We sure do. We need a lot of practice too, right, Alice? I mean, you know, when you think about boundaries, the book itself changed a lot of people's lives, but it didn't mean that they had it all figured out the first time. And just the journey of drawing those boundaries is so powerful. And the way that you feel, I love that you were shaking afterwards, because it's not, and not that I love that, but you know, it just goes to show you it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It isn't just like this big hard line where you don't have any feelings about it, but then you can take those feelings back to your group and you can process them and they can remind you you're okay. We're going to take some calls. Maybe you got a boundary problem. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artimer with a New Life Moment. In 1835, Abe Lincoln was a member of the Illinois legislature and a man with a bright future. in love with the red-haired beauty, Anne Rutledge. They joyfully anticipated their future together. And then malaria struck. A week after the funeral, a friend saw Lincoln rambling through the woods, almost incoherent, mumbling sentences no one could understand. Weeks passed, and Lincoln was lost in pain. Lincoln eventually recovered, and though grief haunted him, faith sustained him. Pain had made him strong. The hard lessons he learned in the Illinois woods prepared him to navigate America through the travails of civil war. Abraham Lincoln was transformed in the crucible of grief, and in turn was used to transform an entire nation. I'm Steve Arterburn. For reasons to hope when you're hurting, visit newlife.com. And thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
I love that story because it just goes to show you that we all have a story, right? And that, you know, what we have to overcome. I always appreciate Steve's way of looking at things. And one of the things that he has done is he created a life recovery coaching certification with International Christian Coaching Institute. That's a big mouthful. But if you would like to become a life recovery coach, or if you're a life coach and you want another certification, the International Christian Counseling Institute has the great, there's so many different options that you can use there. If you want to get more information about that, you can go to newlife.com and click on Heard on the Radio. We'll have the link there. Right now, we're going to go to calls, but we're taking calls for the next couple hours, 1-800-229-3000. And right now we're going to talk with Pam, who's calling us from Knoxville. Hi, Pam. I'm so glad you called today. And how can we help you?
Can I put you on speaker, or does that mess things up?
Well, just depend. We can try it, okay. But you know, if we get an echo, we'll have you go back.
Okay. Well, I'll keep it off. I just, when y'all were talking earlier with regards to personalities, I am an avoider, a people pleaser. I don't like contact, you know, conflict. But I've got a situation in my life where I've got a daughter-in-law who, and I hate using labels, but she tends to be passive-aggressive. I get emails from her all the time, making comments. Anyway, she's coming to my house this evening at 5 o'clock and wants to talk. And I just was hoping and praying that I could get some guidance or directions as to how to steer the conversation. We've had attempts in the past, one other time, to discuss it. Her philosophy is that that if I don't agree to what she has said, that we can't move forward, even though I've asked for forgiveness and to see if we could start off with a clean plate so that past hurts could be let go of. But up to this point, like I said, we have not made progress towards a healthy relationship.
Pam, you are in the company, you know, of another people pleaser, conflict avoider. So, sister, I get it. And the angst leading up to this uncomfortable conversation, ooh, it can be pretty heavy. Could you try to describe what the issue is that she wants to address tonight?
Well, the only what I think might be addressed is the fact that, I'm not 100% sure, but there was a situation a few weeks ago where I texted my son on a Friday to say, because he doesn't work on Fridays, to let him know that I want him to be able to embrace and enjoy the fact that he's got his son on Fridays that he can, you know, enjoy having. You know, because he doesn't work on Fridays. And so I said something to him. I said, I hope you and Wyatt have a wonderful weekend, you know, and enjoy your Friday. And he texted back and said he had an ear infection and that his wife was going on a women's retreat. And I texted him back and I said, well, you know, if you would like some help with Mr. Wyatt, just let me know. And so I get a text back and he said, okay. And then within 5 minutes, he texts back and said, that we're not able to come down because Bethany's not going to be home. Okay, and so we went on a hike for my birthday, and I told him, I said, you know, that hurt my feelings. And so he said something to Bethany, and because of that, we're having a conversation this evening. It's just been I mean, I can, you know, say some of the things that she sends to me in emails. I don't, you know, whether that's relevant, I don't know. I just, it's like no matter what I try to do in the relationship, it just goes south. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to, and I don't know if I was wrong with sharing that with my son, but it's gotten to the point where, because my grandson will be 2 in August. I mean, she calls me a stranger to him.
Pam, what was the worst or the most painful thing that your daughter-in-law said to you in all of these exchanges? What's the worst thing?
I guess, well, the worst thing is going down for a visit and told I couldn't stay there, and I had to get a hotel room. And then the following visit after that, I was able to stay. It's like she puts me on an emotional roller coaster where mm-hmm. I never know what to expect from her. Mm-hmm. I guess knowing that I'm a grandmother now and the fact that she is calling me a stranger to him, that hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the reason why I asked that is because going back to what you said about being a people pleaser and avoider, you know, those feelings get stirred up. In certain statements. Alice, how can we help Pam with this situation?
Pam, when your daughter-in-law comes over tonight, my suggestion is that you be prepared to be her listener tonight, even if you've already listened to her in the past, because okay. Your willingness to listen makes it more likely to fortify the bond between the two of you, and be prepared that she okay. may say things you don't agree with, you don't even think are true. She might even be exaggerating. As you okay. and your daughter-in-law are in this struggle to figure out relationship with your son, and it's just a classic mm-hmm. struggle that, you know, mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law go through together.
Right.
So your willingness to listen, and I'd even have you print out the comfort circle from Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love. It's available for free on their website, and it gives you structure to be a reflective listener where you mainly listen to try to understand her perspective. But then I want you to prepare for a second conversation, and I don't think it should happen tonight, where you make a small admission of one of the things that has been hurtful to you about her. Because that's what you and I, as people pleasers, we need to start doing. We need to be able to give some truth to the person that hurt us. But it is so hard for both you and me mm-hmm. to do. You heard that from my story at the start of the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does my advice affect you? What do you think about trying this tonight?
I mean, so you're saying tonight, just listen.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Don't bring up. Okay, that's fine. The thing is, she wants to look at because they were hurtful, and whether I should have or not, I have saved the letters where she's made comments, and have gone to a therapist and shown those letters, because there's nothing worse than going to a therapist and they're hearing only my side. And so I was wanting them to get a taste of what, and so she wants to see those letters. And so with that,
but they're letters, Pam, they're letters that your daughter-in-law sent to you.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
So
okay.
She might actually be asking to hear from you how she has hurt you.
Okay.
Is that right? That seems like that's her strategy.
Well, the thing is, and that's why I was curious as to why we even have a conversation, because she sent me a text back saying that I'm in our conversation, I won't be changing how she feels or how things are handled. And so and I'm okay with that. I mean, it's her home, and if she's saying those are the parameters, then, you know, that's what I, you know, will abide by.
Well,
so that's what concerns me, is I don't know what she's coming, why she's coming to talk.
Right. And so, Pam, here, Mark is in the studio too. We'll hear from Mark. I think here's the challenge that you have. This isn't your score to settle, but it also is for you to decide how you're going to be in this relationship. And it's right. tricky, but it's tricky. Mark, do you have any input?
Yeah, I like what you're saying here, Alice, about being the listener first. It sounds like you may have an opportunity, though, to be a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this might be a great opportunity to actually start to address the deficit in the relationship. And I think that good relationships are balanced. And so be the listener first for your daughter-in-law. Hear what she says. You know, try and do your best to reduce any defensiveness that you have. And even though you don't know what she's going to say, think about what you might want to say to improve the relationship. And if necessary, write it down, because sometimes people pleasers, they freeze. And when you freeze, you lose language and you forget what you're going to say. And so what I would say is write it down. And here's what I recommend doing too. Practice it with your husband or anybody else who you might have an opportunity to do so beforehand, so that you can clearly express what you'd like to see improve in the relationship too. And just know too, just because this is one conversation, it doesn't mean that this is the end of the discussion.
Right.
And so you get to thank her at the end and also say, you know, thanks for sharing with me your insights. I'd like to think about this, and maybe we can set up another time to talk. And that gives you a little bit of space to think about what she's going to say and then come up with what you want to say back to address it.
And if she invites you to speak, be prepared. You might say something like, you know, I felt hurt and kind of confused, because sometimes it feels like you want me to come over and stay, but other times I feel like you don't want me to. And I want to be closer to you. I want to be closer to Wyatt. And I get confused about how much you want me in your life. Starting with an I statement, I feel, tends to help the other person hear the rest of it better from us, versus you make me, you leave me out, you reject me. Those things might also be true, but those you, harsh you statements don't go over well in a conversation like this.
Okay. Well, I just didn't know if sharing my feelings would create, like I said, I didn't know if it would bother her if I started sharing how, and that's been part of my problem is I've avoided conflict by just holding on to these, saying, wow, I can't believe that.
It might bother her, Pam, but like what Mark and Alice are saying, you guys have to find a way to be fully present in the relationship and to be able to speak your mind and to live in that kind of understanding that we both have thoughts, feelings, truths that could come into this relationship. We just need to have clarity on that.
Mm-hmm. It's about balance, Pam. Remember that.
Yeah.
Good, healthy relationships are balance. So you should be able to have a voice and share your thoughts and feelings too.
That's it. We are going to send you a copy of How We Love. I know it won't get there before tonight, but like Alice said, you can look at that on the website. But I think, Pam, we'll be praying. It's tricky, you know, and our relationships are so multifaceted that there's not going to be a, you know, 1-2-3 approach. It's test the waters, see what it's going to look like, you know. And Alice, just like you said in the opening, it's practice. So we'll be praying for you, Pam. We're glad you called today. We're going to go back to the calls, and we are continuing to take calls, 1-800-229-3000. We got a couple of lines open. We're going to talk with Melissa right now, who's calling us from Louisville, Kentucky, and listens on the app. You can listen on the app, too. You can download it wherever you get your apps. Hello, Melissa. How can we help you today?
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. I am a 44-year-old woman in recovery. I've been clean from heroin and meth for 2 years, 2.5 years.
Congratulations.
And I live with my father. Oh, thank you. Thank you. God got me through that. That was God. That was God all day. Had nothing to do with me. One day he took it away.
Oh.
So praise him. Anyway, I take care of my father, who's elderly. We are in a very fixed budget, and I can't deal with anybody affecting that. I have a cousin that lives with us.
Melissa,
if you hear, yes.
Hold that thought. You hear the music. Okay. Do you have a succinct question that we can be thinking about during the break?
Yes.
Go ahead and ask me.
Okay. I just want to know, after I found this paraphernalia from my cousin's room, and he admitted to using it in the house. I want to know the best way to ask him to leave.
Okay, that's a great question, Melissa. We'll get some more details, but wanted to think about that. We're taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back with Melissa after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I just want to remind y'all, we are doing a matching gift campaign right now, and I know that you want to help us continue the message, what New Life offers to so many people, hope and help. And for every dollar up to $400,000, your gift will be matched. So dollar for dollar, it'll be great. You can go to newlife.com/donate. You can text the word match to 28950. Or you can call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We are just so grateful for your gifts because it makes a difference in people's lives. And we just want to thank you in advance for participating in changing people's lives. Now we're going to go back to the calls. We're going to continue to take calls at 1-800-229-3000. We're talking with Melissa right now. And Melissa, you gave us a brief little update that you've got a cousin that's kind of coming into the house, maybe using... You're clean and sober 2 years. What to do? Is that about right, Melissa?
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, there's more to what's going on with him, but that's the main problem for me.
Okay. All right.
Melissa, what's your fear about having the conversation with him?
I don't know. I know that when I confronted him about something before, when he stole some weed from me, that's my medicine. I get prescribed that, and he took it. And I confronted him for the first time ever. I confronted somebody, and like the lady was saying earlier, I had this full body adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm just afraid of the confrontation. Mm-hmm. I don't like confrontation. It literally makes me physically sick to think about having to. And I have confronted him about it, and he says he's not using, but I don't believe him because I know the behavior. I'm not
right.
Stupid. Been there, done that.
Right.
You know, you can't pull the wool over my eyes because
that's right.
I know all them tricks.
Melissa, would your father be at all opposed to this cousin having to leave the house?
Not at all. He's been here for a year. It's not just this. He doesn't pay rent on time. He eats all my food and doesn't contribute. It's just been a year of me very upset with him, and I can't live like this anymore. It is affecting me physically.
So, Melissa, you might have to decide if you need somebody else to come in and have this conversation with you, have a strong presence in the room alongside you, if you're going to tell your cousin this face-to-face. Maybe you put it into writing first and give it to your cousin and then have another conversation, a follow-up conversation afterwards. And if you're an avoider, if you're a pleaser like I am, it can also help to decide, are you willing to do anything for the cousin to help get to the next place? Like, I'll take you to the Salvation Army. I'll drive you over to the nearby shelter. I'll help you get to that next spot, but I do need you to leave. I need you to leave by this particular date, and I need you to leave because of these things that you know, these things have been going on that just doesn't work for us in our household. I think it's terrifying to have conversations like this, Melissa. You know that. Would you need somebody to have it with you?
Yes, I've already asked my dad. I told him that my dad... He's where I get my softness from. He's got no backbone either. But Joey does listen to what he says,
yep,
more so than what I say. So I convinced my dad to let him stay here, and now I regret it. And I think that you are right. I think I'm going to need somebody there with me. And I think my father would be the one. I think the letter's a great idea. I think that's what I should do first. And then have dad talk to him because it can't go on like this. I'm the only one putting food in the house and I get food stamps, you know, and they're for me, not anybody else. And I'm constant, like right now, it's the middle of the month. We don't have food enough to last. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried about what we're going to, and he doesn't seem to care. He doesn't buy groceries.
Melissa,
it's just the whole thing.
And you have a real clear case here of why this needs to happen. And you know, too, that the longer you let him stay, it's actually probably enabling him to take advantage of you, to mistreat you folks, maybe even to use, because he gets the luxury of living in your home. So although it doesn't feel loving to set a boundary like this and to kick him out, it actually is loving. And as I've worked in the field of addiction, and I've had many people tell me who finally got recovery, they said it was because a family member took a strong stance like this. It was because their suitcases got packed and put out the front door. And as much as they hated it at the time, it helped them to then choose recovery eventually.
That's right. Mark, what would you say?
Here's where I'd encourage you, Melissa. I don't know if people like confrontation. Some people are better at it than others, but I don't know if people actually like it. And so the only way that we get better at it is by practicing it. And so it's a muscle that we flex. And if you were listening, and you were listening earlier, and you heard that I said to Pam, you know, practice the conversation with someone before, I'd give you that same advice. Because, you know, the more you practice something, the better you get at it. And then the other thing that I would say, too, is give a timeline to your cousin. Give, you know, let him know, by this time, I'm expecting you to leave. Make it reasonable.
I was thinking 30 days. What do you think?
Yes,
that's generous.
That's plenty of time.
Yeah,
that's
I think generous. 30 days is a generous amount of time to give somebody notice to be able to start to look. Does he have a job?
Yes, he has a job. It's hit or miss. He's like a contractor guy, like he repairs homes and whatnot, and his work is just now starting to pick up. We just spent the entire winter with him not working.
Oh, good. So he has a source of income. He has, finances to be able to create for himself. And like Alice was saying here, sometimes somebody's growth comes when it's forced upon them, right? It's required because, you know, naturally as human beings, we want to stay in the comfort. We want to take the path of least resistance. Our growth occurs sometimes when this, you know, the situation happens to us and we have to adapt. So you're likely doing him a favor.
Agree. Melissa, we are going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible. And I would encourage you, if you aren't doing group work right now, get back with a group because this will be part of strengthening your process. We're so glad you called. We'll be praying for the situation. We'll be back after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We have a couple of lines open, but I want to tell you that every Monday we release an Every Man's Battle podcast, new episode, and you can get it wherever you get your podcast, or you can go to newlife.com. Today's episode is part two of the discussion about secondary boundaries, and isn't that ironic? Because we are talking all about boundaries today, but JJ West, who's our speaker at Every Man's Battle, and Doug Barnes, who's one of our facilitators there, have a great discussion, and it's just a great way for you to continue working on your recovery. Or if you are thinking about going to Every Man's Battle and you're kind of, you know, I just don't know what to expect, this is also a good way for you to get some insight. We're having an online Every Man's Battle workshop this Saturday, and that is unusual. We don't offer that all the time. And so I want to encourage you, if you're a man struggling with your sexual integrity and you want to get free and live the life that God has for you, call us and we'll get you connected right away. Right now, we're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Britt, who's calling us from Morrisville, Pennsylvania. And you were referred to us, Britt, so I assume this is a first-time call for you?
Yes, first-time call.
Well, I'm glad you are calling. How can we help you today?
I just got married recently, and I found out last night that my husband has been viewing pornography. This issue has come up in the past. We have addressed it together, prayed on it. I didn't think it was a thing anymore. So my question is, I was hoping for some advice on how I can approach this conversation with him. And when, because we've made a lot of great strides in our relationship. It's been 4 years, today actually, we're only married a month. So I don't know if it's, I don't know the extent of the consumption of the pornography on him, like for him. I don't know how severe it is. I don't know if it's something that's like casual, random, or an addiction. Like, so I want to approach it with grace and love and support if that's what he needs. So
Britt,
if I book, yeah.
Have you talked about this with anybody else?
The only other person I talked about it with was this morning, our pastor's wife. She referred me to you guys, and we prayed together about it this morning. And I stormed out of the house this morning over something completely different. But I knew that if I approached this in an escalated state emotionally, that it wouldn't be a productive conversation. And I didn't want to ruin the chance of us, like, working through this together if I approach it wrong.
Britt, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. And you're trying to be the strong soldier, and I'm sure there's lots of feelings. Alice, let's start with you, and we'll go to Mark after that.
Britt, did you discover last night, or did your husband disclose?
I discovered it last night.
And does he yet know that you know?
He does not know that I know.
And as it has been a topic you've been able to talk about in the past, has he ever gotten structured professional help for it?
He is not. He's pretty insistent on doing things on his own for the most part. And as far as I know, I don't think he's gotten any professional help or guidance on this. No.
I want to praise your self-restraint, because trying to have these conversations with high emotion right in the moment, it doesn't tend to go well. Things get so reactive, and there's usually an escalation. So to reach out to the pastor's wife first and to get advice from us, it's taking a high level of self-control on your part, but I do think it will bless the conversation with your husband.
Yeah, Britt, did you discover his browsing history? Is that how you found out?
Yeah, we've taken a lot of great strides in overcoming, like, the trust issues on my end. I'd say I'm, like, 95% past where it used to be. And, you know, we've had pretty good open communication for the most part, and he knows that I'll check it on occasion. But usually, and I haven't checked in, like, almost a year, but I don't know, for some reason I felt led to while he was sleeping. I know that's not probably the most honest thing to do. But usually when I do, the very next morning, I tell him, hey, just so you know, like, you know, I was feeling a little anxious. I looked at your phone, you know, but this morning, you know, argument broke out over something completely separate. So that's when I called our pastor's wife. I said, hey, I was going to approach this morning, but this happened. And then it just kind of spiraled from there. But yeah, I saw in his history things, and I did the unfortunate thing, like clicking on what was there. I shouldn't have done that.
Britt,
and it just
Britt,
yeah.
Listen, you did not do the unfortunate thing.
Yeah, you did
this
the courageous thing. Britt, you didn't.
Exactly.
Here's what I want you to know: you haven't done anything wrong.
Correct.
Right? You suspected something, and you had good reason to suspect. And when we suspect, we engage in behaviors called safety seeking, which is checking behaviors, and we check to see, are we still safe? And so that's what you're doing. And so when you reveal this, and he's going to ask you, how did you know, and you're going to tell him, if he tries to turn it around, don't engage in that conversation. That would be a way of him minimizing what he's doing. And typically, as men, we feel shame over this issue, so we tend to minimize. We don't want to tell anybody. We want to say, you know what, I'll just handle it on my own. I'll just do it with my own willpower. But if he could do it with his own willpower, he would have done it already. And the truth is that this is a betrayal of you. And, you know, you're already asking the right questions here. Whenever we have betrayal, we need to have a full disclosure. You need to know the extent of what this issue is. And I would give him space, because people, when they're confronted, especially men, they tend to lie when they're asked to give the full disclosure. So I would say, I found this out. I want you to think about what you've done, and I want you to tell me the full extent of it, and I'm going to give you a day or so to prepare that, and then I want to sit down and I want to talk about this. And then when you do talk about this, you need to know what his plan is. He needs to have an action plan, and the action plan needs to involve other people. It needs to involve a group. It needs to involve an accountability partner. Ideally, it needs to involve both of those things, and he needs to have also safeguards set up so that you can check and not feel guilty about doing that.
Britt, you can also add things like, I love you. I want to keep our trust and our bond strong. But I am hurt and I'm worried right now. And it doesn't work for me anymore for you to try to handle this on your own. Britt, we've got that Every Man's Battle online.
Yes.
April 13th. There is no excuse for him not to go.
This
He'll
Saturday.
Give you excuses anyhow. But tell him that you need him to attend this in order to rebuild trust.
How do you feel about that, Britt?
His birthday's actually on the 13th.
It's a great gift.
To himself and to you, because he's in bondage. Mm-hmm. He's in hiding and in bondage right now.
It is tough. And Britt, I hope you can hear what Alice and Mark are saying. You did nothing wrong. This is not you. This is not because you didn't do something that you should have or shouldn't have. None of this is your fault. And it is painful. And you're going to have all the feelings. And we're going to get you connected with someone who can help you process some of this. But I would, along what Alice said, I want you to encourage him, not even encourage him, say, you know what? It's time. We got to do this. You can go this on the 13th and it will change the trajectory. I'm going to send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust as well, which I think will give you both insight and understanding about the road ahead. There is hope. This isn't, the end. We help men do this all the time. And couples have better relationships after they get this dealt with, because it's not just this. It's connected to other things. Alice?
Well, if this conversation is too hard for you, Britt, as we started the show saying my hard conversations, it took me so much longer than I wanted to be able to have them, then you need the sisterhood around you. And we can also get you connected. We've got our Restore Weekend and getting your own counseling. If you don't have the courage to have this yet, that's pretty darn normal. And a counselor can help you get ready to have the conversation.
Yeah. And I want to say thank you to your pastor's wife. We love our churches all across the country that are helping people like yourself, Britt, find help. Because it's tough when you're in those places where you feel like you're all alone and you don't have resources. That's what we've been doing for 35 years. We've been helping people find the help that they need. And we want to continue doing that. I mentioned earlier today, we've got a matching gift campaign. And your gifts help us do what we're doing. Everything from helping people connect with counselors, the resources that we provide, the intensives. We're in ministry to help people experience the life that God has for them. And I invite all y'all to pray for Britt, pray for this couple. And we know there can be a new start for them that's going to be great and hopeful. We're going to keep taking calls, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're going to keep taking calls for the next hour, 1-800-229-3000. But, if you're unable to call in when we're recording a live show, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 1 to 3 Eastern, you can visit newlife.com/radio for information on how to ask a question by voicemail or email. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the QR code there and you can snap that. It'll take you to that page. And if you are watching on YouTube, thank you. Click that like and subscribe button. It'll help other people know about the hope that they can get through New Life and through God working through New Life. So we are glad to have you along. We're going to go to Ann, who's calling us from Plano. Listen, I'm KWRD. Hello, Ann. How can we help you today?
Yes, thanks so much for taking my call. And I wanted to say I'm a monthly donor, and everyone listening should be.
Oh, thank you, Ann. Thanks for being part of Club New Life. We appreciate it.
My situation is with my future son-in-law. My daughter and him have been off and on for a few years. But then she broke up with him, and I kept asking her, why do you keep breaking up with him? He treats you like a queen. And she's like, well, he's too nice. But anyway, the situation is we always had a wonderful relationship. I've had a wonderful relationship with him. I was always his advocate, you know, that she needed to get back together with him because he's such a wonderful guy. And, you know, when I'd walk in a room, he would smile, and we even had a joke that he would kind of push my daughter aside and come hug me, you know. So mm-hmm. it was just kind of a joke, and my daughter knew it was funny, too. But anyway, he broke up with them and then found out she was pregnant, and which I was very excited about because I've always wanted to be a grandma, and, you know, she to get pregnant with this wonderful guy is, you know, great because she normally dates drama, don't have a job guys. And this, you know, this young man is very hardworking anyway. But the situation has changed. After my daughter told me, he was in the other room, and I came out of my room, and I was very happy. Like I said, I've always wanted to be a grandma. And he was coming, and I had I did have a conversation with him, you know, that in our family, you know, we're Christians, and if you get somebody pregnant, you marry them. And they had been engaged before, but like I said, my daughter broke up. And, you know, I explained that my, you know, mom had to marry my dad and my sister had to marry her because they were pregnant. And so it's like it's happened in our family. No big deal. And I loved him. This, that, and the other. Well, ever since then, he's been really cold. I don't know if it's the stress of being a new dad. And my question is, do I bring this up to she's due in like 2 weeks, but it's not gotten any better. They told me back in September, you know, she found it right away. And, you know, and I guess I thought it would get better, but I don't know if I should just wait longer or bring it up to him. He's, like I said, he's been, like, very cold. We would watch Christian shows, he'd say, I'm not religious. So I don't know if he thinks I'm pushing my religion on him or that I'm a Christian.
And you haven't mentioned the coldness to him yet, correct?
I have not. I'm happy, you know, I'm so, I got him a Christmas gift, I got him a Valentine's basket, I got him an Easter basket like I do with my kids. You know, I treat him the same. The only upset I ever got with him is, I hate to say it, he doesn't drive very well, so I was driving with him to a doctor's appointment, and I did scream out because it scared me really bad.
So,
but that's the only negative thing I've ever done to him.
It sounds like a very complex relationship, but we've got a few minutes left. Mark, let's start with you.
And you said that he broke up with your daughter this last time before 2 weeks he found it. No?
Oh, no. No. It's always her because he's too nice. And and so he's happy, you know, that, you know, they're together now. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get married after the baby because, my daughter doesn't want to be pregnant.
We're going to interrupt. When you think about pointing out to him, it feels like something has changed between the two of us since you all announced my daughter's pregnancy. Did something happen? Did I upset you or offend you in some way? When you think about asking him that, what's the strongest feeling you have in anticipation of that conversation?
Well, I think he'll say, you know, no, everything's fine, but, you know, not, you know, just kind of, like I said, I think that he thinks that I'm going to, because my daughter says she's raising the baby. She told him point blank. She's questioning her faith right now, and I'm praying hard for all of them. But, you know, he says I'm not religious, and he won't watch The Chosen with us when, you know, we sit down,
me and my son and my daughter. And you think he'll brush it off and he'll deny it. And I would have you push in a little bit more gently to say, I really wonder if all of our spiritual talk lately has been off-putting to you. And if it has been, I'm open to hear about it. I want to know how it's been affecting you. You've already said I'm not religious. So I know some part of it doesn't sit well with you. And he still may not say anything. And you can't force him to. But all you can do on your assertive side of boundaries is to kindly, gently point out the change and invite him. And if he says, no, there really is nothing, then I might drop it for the time being. But I would check in again if it continues later on. We can invite people to get honest about it, but we can't force them to.
Yeah.
And, okay. I just didn't know if I should say anything at all.
Well, I think it's good to bring bring up an observation. Say, here's what I have noticed. I think it's harder for somebody just to kind of brush something off if you give an observation, because when you give an observation, they really have to give an explanation. You know, either your observation is correct or your observation is incorrect, and here's why. And so, you know, making an observation is safer. I think it's a safer way to confront somebody. Here's what I've noticed is that you seem to be speaking to me less. You run and you give me a hug, and you've seemed a little distant. I just want to check in and see if everything's okay. And I would then give him space to talk. You sound like you're a very good verbal processor here, Anne. And so I wonder if there could be times where he feels like he doesn't have space to give his answer. So make sure that you give him the space to answer and don't interrupt him as he's given the answer. I'm going to say something that might be a little bit counter to how you're thinking here. I think it would be great if they got married and they raised this child together and he became a Christian. But I don't think that just because somebody's pregnant, it's always the best decision for two people to get married. And I would allow them space to work that out between them.
Okay. I mean, they're planning on it this fall, okay. I understand. And what you just said, perfect sense about saying, I've observed this. That's mm-hmm. So, y'all are so brave.
Good.
You get right to it. I love y'all.
Do you know, and you know what? We love you too, Anne. And we love that you love this new couple coming together and want to do the most for them. I would, you know, invite you to have them we're going to send you a copy of How We Love, which could be a great tool for them for, you know, not only their relationship, but also raising children. It's a great way to establish those connections. You hear us refer to that all the time on the program, you know, and a new baby. How exciting is that? But, you know, like I said, relationships are complex. And we have a feeling, they have a feeling, and somewhere in the middle, we got to connect. Alice, you opened the show today with that whole concept of having to make a boundary when it doesn't feel comfortable. And, you know, Anne's talking about how do I, you know, cross this, you know, threshold where we can observe that things are weird and, you know, has been a change. You know, what would you say to somebody who can identify with that?
I'd say be patient with yourself if you don't make the changes soon enough and get curious. What are my obstacles? What are my fears and my hurt? What's holding me back from doing the right thing I know I should do? And that will help you then overcome those obstacles.
I love that. If you need help, you can call us. We're going to take calls for the next hour. We got some lines open, 1-800-229-3000. Thanks, Mark and Alice.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.